Dig now. Dig. Dig. Dig now. The one showing the less enthusiasm for digging will occupy the grave. However, from what I say, you are not entitled to deduce that the digger of the grave will not himself be buried. Not in this grave, perhaps. Possibly not today, but another grave and another day. Dig. Dig. Scum. Scum. Scum to dig your comrade's grave. How I hope that you would say, tilting your chin and drawing back your shoulders, say, I will not stoop to dig. Spade shall not be lifted from the clay, not by me, the lonely spade. So now you dig. You dig his grave. Dig. Dig, I say. Dignity, when it appears, when it makes one of its rare appearances, comes only as an intimate of death. It is part of death's retina. We cannot speak of dignity without speaking of death. It's not to be discovered on the football field, the dance floor, or lurking in the opera house. It's not a passenger on trams or the habitué of cafes, lunching, laughing, or seducing boys. No. It shuns all places but the sights of death. And there, even it walks on silent souls, discriminating, where discrimination seems a fatuous refinement. Refinement at the grave. That is the mouth of terrible equivalence. Surely there we are, if anywhere, the same? On the contrary. The grave is the apotheosis of distinction. Scum. How few possess the subtlety of mind, the gravity of character, the cultural profundity to grasp the opportunities for perfection that cluster at the edge of our extinction. Time's short, obviously, but let us not be spoiled by time. Let us not be robbed of this singular beauty which certainly evaded us elsewhere. By the mundane disciplines of time, what are we, clerks? What are we, bus drivers? 2 minutes remaining, but what quality of minutes? Stop, and you stand in the hole. The hole. The hole. Step in it as if it were your lover's womb. Your mother's bed. Her womb. Step in it with, oh, some semblance of demeanor. No! Far from regarding death as the abyss, I am now persuaded all men resolutely forbid themselves the briefest contemplation of its sublime character. Possibly he who first described it in these terms was not himself perched on the rim. The abyss may be a metaphor belonging to the bedroom or the library. Perhaps it speaks to him who is so far removed from it. It is no more apposite than the verdict of a wrecked lover studying the photograph of the woman who destroyed him. You try. You demonstrate this quality I'm struggling to elucidate. Oh, be the one. Be the one who takes leave of himself in such a way it haunts my memory. Yes. Yes. Yes, and yet, oh, this is, oh, forgive me. Forgive me in my cynical character. See this cynicism, if you can, as no more than the shelter of a delicate and always disappointed soul. I think you have a strategy. Yes, and far from sharing with me your preparation for an exquisite death, you think I will, oh dear, you think I will be gratified and give you back today. Tomorrow, you think. Tomorrow, he will make me die. Today's my present, if I try. Scum. Scum. Lie on your back and watch the sky. Lie. Lie. You. Take the spade and bury him. Yes, bury him alive. The world is nothing but the sum of your perceptions. Always I have been convinced of this since childhood, yes. The greatest moments of awareness are granted us prior to thought. Later, absurd, is it not? We are obliged to retrieve them by the exertions of the intellect. Don't cover his face! Don't deprive him of the sky! In view of this fact about the world that I have just described, it cannot be said that death, insofar as you are experiencing it, in any way diminishes us. The contrary must be the case. The world is in death also. Dirt! Dirt on his face! Oh, perhaps you should occupy the hole. Perhaps the hole is more appropriate to you. This death, far from being the extinction of perception, is itself perception. Oh, it's so hard to say. It's so hard to enter the territory of this. It calls for a new language. It calls for poetry. But poetry is sometimes obfuscation. Let us admit it. Let us admit the poet often hides in the metaphor as a shy creature takes to the woods. It dreads the light. It dreads exposure. No. We must struggle with the language that we possess. We must employ the inadequate, knowing full well its inadequacy. Stop! Pick up the spade. Pick up the spade which you threw down. Scum. Scum. You. Oh, when scum discovers dignity, we can only laugh. Dig your own hole now and bury the embarrassment that you have caused not only to yourself, but me. Smother it swiftly, please. Oh, come on. No! No! Shut up! I'll fill your mouth with dirt! Shut up, you! Oh. The calculation. The manipulation. Never is a man sincere. That, if I interpret him correctly, that is the scum's attempt to make me like some vessel, like some bronze urn, the repository of his memory. He thinks I'll dream his singing. He thinks on summer evenings in my senile years I'll hear that voice come floating over fields, or in the night awake. Oh, the buried prisoner. Oh, so he thinks. No. I promise him the absolute obscurity he so fears. Yet, believe me, I am susceptible. I am, but not alas to imitation. Everything you two scum do is derivative. And that's a pity. That's a profound pity, for in many ways you can't be blamed. The reproduction of things is, universal now. And like some gnawing sea undermines even my sense of the immaculate. How can we achieve in moments replete with stale and sordid imitation the authentic gesture? How invent new and untarnished forms in which to enter death? It's all contaminated now. We all We all want it to be right. Yes. And how could you know that I also wish to die properly? Dig now, dig. Stop. Assure me now. Assure me with a single motion of your head that you have abandoned every futile hope of further life. In no crevice of your imagination does there lurk some desperate hope I may relent. Assure me. It's good. Oh, it's good. Yes. Yes. Someone must bury you. Scum. Oh, scum. How beautiful you are today. Run. Run! Run!
Hey! 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 Hey!